Welcome to CFRI's Cystic Fibrosis Community Voices, a video podcast series created by and for the cystic fibrosis community.
Hello, and welcome to CFRI's CF Community Voices podcast series. I'm Siri Vaith, Executive Director of Cystic Fibrosis Research Incorporated, CFRI, and it is my honor to welcome our guest today for our podcast on patient-centered outcomes research. I also want to remind viewers that CFRI has a wealth of programs and services for our CF community, and I encourage you to go to cfri.org to see our offerings and to take part. So now on to the presentation. We are so grateful to our guest today. Emily Godfrey is, of course, a medical doctor. She's an associate professor in the departments of family medicine and obstetrics and gynecology at the University of Washington. She's a family physician with a clinical focus on women's healthcare and chronic disease. She is also a Patient-Centered Outcomes Research Institute, otherwise referred to as PCORI. She's a PCORI-funded researcher whose current work focuses on building capacity for patient-centered research, outcomes research within the cystic fibrosis community. And with seed funding from PCORI, she co-founded and is the current lead of the Cystic Fibrosis Reproductive and Sexual Health Collaborative, otherwise known as CFRESH. Also with us today is Laura Mensch, who was diagnosed with CF as an adult and who's provided sexual health education for children and adults throughout her adult life. A few years after her diagnosis, the nurse coordinators at her CF clinic asked her to speak about birth control at a CF education day. And she says this opportunity opened new doors for her, connecting her to the CF community and providing the opportunity to learn about their unique sexual health concerns and questions. And Laura brings her interest, knowledge, and skills to her role as a patient partner with CFRESH. So together, they will share their perspectives and their expertise on bringing patient-centered outcomes research to the CF community. Welcome.
Hi, everyone. My name is Emily Godfrey, and I'm an associate professor of family medicine and obstetrics and gynecology at the University of Washington. I'm really excited to be here today to talk to the CFRI group with this podcast. And I'm here with Laura Mensch. And Laura, I'll let you introduce yourself.
Hi, my name is Laura Mensch. I'm a patient partner with the Cystic Fibrosis Reproductive and Sexual Health Collaborative. And partner Emily and I work together. I'm a patient. I have lived with cystic fibrosis awareness of my disease for 17 years. And I'm really happy to speak with those of you through CFRI and appreciate the invitation to bring patient-centered outcomes research to this community.
Great. So I'm going to go ahead and share our screen. So as Laura mentioned, we are with the Cystic Fibrosis Reproductive and Sexual Health Collaborative, but we are speaking more broadly about patient-centered outcomes research to the CF community. And our presentation was done in collaboration with our partners, Tracy Kazmierski, Georgia Brown, Molly Pam, Aaron Thayer, and Morhaf Alachar. And our disclosures are up here on the slide, and that this presentation is funded in part by the PCORI Eugene Washington Award. So Laura, tell us a little more about PCORI, the Patient-Centered Outcomes Research Institute.
Well, I learned about PCORI from engaging in this project, but it is an independent, nonprofit, non-governmental organization, but it was created under the Affordable Care Act by Congress in 2010. And it was from the urging of people involved in research that more patients, caregivers in the community be involved in all phases of research to bring a better outcome to the research. And a better outcome really designed as what patients were asking for in their lives. Our award is named for Eugene Washington, who was the first chair of the PCORI Board of Governors. The Eugene Washington Award is specifically provided to help us share patient-centered outcomes research with others, and we are sharing what we've learned with the CF community through this award.
So one of the first things we did when we got awarded by PCORI was we surveyed the CF community about their interest in patient-centered outcomes research. We surveyed over 170 people in the community, including patients and caregivers, researchers, healthcare providers, research staff, and 86% said that they were interested in learning more about PCOR methods. We then had several focus groups of patients and caregivers to find out more specifically what is it you'd like to learn about patient-centered outcomes research. And the patients said they wanted to learn how to openly communicate with researchers. They wanted to learn how to build trust with researchers and providers, and they wanted to be able to share their expertise. We interviewed researchers and healthcare providers separately, and what they said was they wanted to learn how to include outcomes that matter to patients and caregivers, as well as partner with patients and caregivers and select relevant research topics that are important to the community.
But we want to go back and tell you a little bit how each of us became involved in patient-centered outcomes research. And Emily, how did that happen for you? You're a traditional researcher.
I am. So I'm a traditional clinical trials researcher with fellowship training in family planning and women's health. I'm a primary care doc. I went to a primary care conference because I thought, you know, PCORI would just be an opportunity to find more funding. And what I realized is when I entered the room of researchers, of patients, that just seeing that in action and seeing how patients who had been part of this research team for already a number of years were just so freely contributing aspects from their perspective of a patient who's living with the disease. And I realized, wow, I'm learning like some really big, you know, stuff that I hadn't seen with just working with people who have doctorate degrees or master's degrees. And I remember being, as a person who does have a doctorate degree and more formal training, I remember feeling a little taken aback, like, how is it that this patient who has no formal training is contributing something so insightful, you know? And so it just was kind of a clue to me that we sometimes are very tied to our degrees. And when we allow ourselves to step back, a lot of times we have so much to learn. So with that, I had an opportunity to hear about some grant funding through PCORI. And I wasn't quite ready at that stage to approach a patient of mine. But I am a person with an interest in looking at contraception among women with complex diseases. And of course, cystic fibrosis is one of those diseases. So I approached Sandy Sufian, who was a colleague at my prior university and would often ask me questions related to, you know, sexual reproductive health and cystic fibrosis, and I didn't have answers. And so this grant opportunity was really an opportunity for us to come together and say, look, let's propose that we're going to bring adult women with cystic fibrosis, we're going to bring them to the table. We're going to find out what are their questions around sexual reproductive health, because it didn't seem like anyone was studying that and doing that. And so that's how we got funding, and that's how we started the Cystic Fibrosis Reproductive and Sexual Health Collaborative. So what about you, Laura? What brought you to this work?
My work has always been in sexual and reproductive health, primarily women's health care. And I continue to be very passionate about getting good information to people so they can take care of their bodies. And sometimes we have to understand things and in ways that are new to us. So, 17 years ago, I was diagnosed with CF. And a couple of years after that, the nurse coordinator said, "Laura, you're just the person we need. Can you give a talk on birth control for a CF at night?" I had no awareness of a CF at night. We could still meet. That was prior to the new guidelines. So I said, "Sure, I can give a talk on birth control." But then I didn't have any idea how CF was different. It was not a question I needed in my personal life. And I realized I was going to need more information to be able to be really helpful to the community. In the talk we gave that night, I had a little bit of information based on the few research articles I could access. But what I realized is that women had questions about so many things. Our talk was planned for about 50 minutes. We stayed there for more than 2 hours. The nurses were amazed at the breadth and the intensity with which women were needing information. And then I met Emily.
So tell us how you came to CFRESH and what it's been like to participate in patient-centered outcomes research.
Well, I met Emily at a CFRI conference, and it took me a couple minutes after she introduced herself as a reproductive health researcher in CF. I said, perhaps this is a person who can help me on my quest to be a better resource for my peers. And I came to a meeting. Pretty soon I was facilitating meetings with women with CF, and by the end of the year, we were more formally creating our collaborative and bringing more researchers and patients together. And at the end of that first year, we were moving forward.
So I'm going to go ahead and share our slides again. So Laura, there are a lot of opportunities for people with cystic fibrosis to participate in research. And how does patient-centered outcomes research kind of fit on the spectrum that we see up here in the slides?
Well, many of us are familiar with being clinical research subjects. There's a lot of research in the CF community, and if we're able to participate, we often volunteer in that one aspect of research, you know, gathering the data. In time, the CF Foundation was offering surveys that we could participate in, yet again, another way of bringing data to the research, or focus groups. Those are ways that as individuals, we could participate. Yet the whole spectrum of research begins with conceptualizing the problem, seeking funding, and beginning to formulate the methods by which we'll collect the information. And patients were not being involved in all of those aspects of research that PCOR, patient-centered outcomes research, allows us to be. So we have experience as patients with research, but this allows us to have experience in the full realm of research.
And why should people engage? What are the benefits of engaging?
Well, we bring more voices together to the table, but the questions the patients asked are questions that are relevant and helpful to their own lives. When researchers are listening to us as patients, we have more trust that the results are going to be results that we can use. We still know that in clinical research as being individuals, but this is the outcome that will make our lives better in many different ways, in addition to treatments. And then we as community members encourage the CF community to uptake and listen and accept the research results as helpful in their lives.
And I would say for me, in terms of the, for the researchers with someone who's a principal investigator, if you're thinking about putting together a patient-engaged or patient-centered research team, These are six principles that you can read more about in the PCORI website, but the key things I think are communication. So something so simple as how are we going to communicate? You know, you have to think broadly that, you know, your patients in the, you know, from the community may not be utilizing things that you normally use like email or Outlook. So we started like a Facebook page to post announcements. We used Google Docs because that was easier to access in terms of reviewing meeting minutes or working on grants together. The other notion is co-learning. And what co-learning means is that we cannot expect patients or caregivers to come to the table and they have to learn all of the research lingo and methodology. They come with their own lived experience with the disease. And so there needs to be an understanding that the researchers will come to the table, understanding methodology. Patients come to the table with their experience and that understanding, that respect for one another. Reciprocity, and I think Laura will talk about it in the coming slides, but we had to do away with titles and you know, formal you know, titles, and really just recognizing that we are all equal members on the research team.
Right. We needed the same seat at the table.
Exactly. And transparency is key. So it means that all members of the research team are aware of the information that comes in. Researchers inherently control a lot of the information that comes in. So again, having that mechanism in which to quickly communicate a new grant opportunity so that the group is making decisions about how to move forward is going to be key. And the bottom line is when you have these four principles in place, you often have trust and honesty. Trust and honesty must be part of your PCORI team if your team is going to succeed.
And to function well as a team, we need to continue to revisit the principles that are the foundation of our work. So we continue to do that, but in our meetings, we model and share with one another those practices. We do have a way of bringing everybody's voice into a meeting. We start with either a check-in or an icebreaker, and we've learned things about, you know, oh, people's plans for the weekend or their favorite ice cream flavor, what book they're reading. But the point is that we're learning about one another as individuals who also are team members, and it's been, it helps support our relationships with one another. And we as patients are used to the hierarchical relationships that we have with any healthcare providers. We have learned to relax that, to really flatten the hierarchy. In our meetings, we call one another by our first names, and it took us a little while to do that. But all of these aspects contribute to our working relationship.
And so tell us about how to overcome some of the barriers that we commonly encounter in patient-centered outcomes research.
Well, one of the things I spoke about is that there are many of us on the team. Many of us as patients, that not one of us has the same experience, and we don't rely on one individual to speak as a representative of the community. Certainly we all bring skills and talents and experiences, and we are recognized. It feels great that we are to a place where we're recognized by both the researchers and the providers for our contributions, and you know, it's a good relationship. And we're equal partners. We have addressed potential ethical issues with patients and their own caregivers on the same research team. And that has not been a problem for us. Patients can freely talk about their experiences, but providers do not acknowledge that relationship. Compensation of patient partners. We are all happy to bring our voices to the table, but being rewarded by being equitably compensated and to have our time commitment honored. We do start out at the beginning of the grant, understanding what our commitment is, and everyone is mindful of holding that up, particularly for the patients.
So one of the questions that the researchers had was, well, how do we partner with patients through the whole kind of spectrum of the study? So certainly getting patient partners and caregiver partners on board early on is important, and they really need to be the people who are driving the research questions and the outcomes. The researchers often come in and generate the grant application with input from the patients. But then once the grant application is funded and you're conducting the study, your patient partners can stay involved because they can often make a big difference when it comes to things like recruitment. Their input on something so simple as a recruitment flyer can really help you in terms of succeeding with your recruitment. They may be boots on the ground helping you to collect or synthesize data. And that might require extra IRB training for your patient partners, but often if they're engaged, they're often very willing to do something like that. You might find that your patient partners will have insights about why there might be a high loss to follow-up rate. So often they can guide you in terms of how to adjust retention in your studies. And Laura kind of mentioned the result, disseminating the results often could be much faster than just publishing in a peer-reviewed journal, hoping that the results get out to the community. Your patient partners are trusted people within the CF community. And so they can often publish results that are not necessarily in the peer-reviewed journal, but they're in newsletters, CFR roundtable, that sort of thing, where patients are reading it all the time and they get the results. So that's been very worthwhile.
Yeah, it's challenging for the researchers to give up some of the responsibilities they've understood to be theirs in the research project. Has it been challenging for you, Emily? Or how has it been?
Yeah, so it's certainly, there is an element of giving up control. And I know, Laura, you and I have shared the experience I have. My background is a lot in contraception, and that was sort of my idea around reproductive and sexual health. And as people like yourself and other adult women with CF were coming together and talking about all the different questions that they had around reproductive and sexual health in CF, and one of them was body image, it never occurred to me that that would be a reproductive sexual health. And I was, I just learned so much. There's an element of loss of control, but then there's this whole world that you learn something new, that you, your career almost takes a turn in ways you didn't expect. So
we have expanded this notion of what it means to look at reproductive and sexual health.
Exactly.
And this whole process takes time. I think when you initiate and say, hey, I'm going to participate in this project, that many of the steps we've talked about take time. To get to full partnership, it may take as many as 5 years. But we start with patients who are not engaged. That's where I was when I first met Emily. I had background and I had a need and no place to go with my concerns or my seeking of more information. So we begin to make initial contact. We bring new partners into the project and acquaint them with how we work. The foundation of PCOR, patient-centered outcomes research, which is new, and then we begin to take different roles. The roles are defined. They're supported by the organization, but one by one, from my experience, I joined into the project and sat in on meetings, and then I was facilitating meetings, and I was helping organize the meetings and plan the content of how we would create our meetings and who else would be invited. So in time, we evolve into active research, and have more relationships and more responsibilities. And I'm feeling really grateful to have as much opportunity to learn as many different things as I can. And we are approaching full partnership in about the time frame that we were told it would take.
Yeah. So why don't we tell the community a little bit about the work we've been doing on the UGM Washington and some of the trainings that we have for the CF community.
And I want to remind you, the Eugene Washington Award was given to us to reach out to the CF community. We started with the needs assessment, and from that developed four separate trainings. There were 90-minute trainings, I believe, that we had with the CF community. The first, we recognized from our own experience that the basics of research were helpful for either a review or an introduction for CF patients and caregivers. All of us, researchers, providers, and patients, benefited from learning 101, what's patient-centered outcomes research, and then how we support a patient-centered outcomes research team. And the researchers wanted more information about how they actually brought a study to fruition, starting with accessing funding, designing their study, and actually implementing it. So we created and held these four trainings, which we have available for others in the CF community who would like to learn more. How is this? So Emily, here we are. This is for you participating in PCOR and on the CFRESH team. What's been the most valuable thing for you?
Yeah, well, I mean, I think I mentioned, my world of in my area of research of reproductive and sexual health is really expanded, and hearing all the questions that adult women with CF have in that particular area has really, it's just opened my eyes. It's enriched. I have through that experience, I've networked with other researchers. I have met a lot of CF researchers and those who also specialize in women's health. So it's really been a very sort of rapid, robust way to expand my field and to really diversify the kind of research I'm engaging in. And what about you? What have you found most valuable?
You know, I've been really grateful to have more company in my search for more information that's helpful to women with CF and men too. And we do want to include projects and work that address sexual reproductive health concerns of men. And so I have company. I have many patient partners who are eager and interested to do this work. I share what I know with them. They bring other ways of learning to me. And then the researchers, you know, I'm learning more. And I feel at this point in my life and in the work that I do, I'm glad to have that opportunity. Yet we have had some challenges. What has been a challenge for you, Emily?
Yeah, I would say as a researcher, it does take more time to have patients and caregivers engaged in on your team. And having a good research assistant, I think, kind of keeping all the pieces together is a key thing. So I think acknowledging that researchers who decide to do patient-centered outcomes research have the resources necessary to have a research assistant who can really be good about ensuring that the communication happens and just making sure that that transparency and the principles are all kind of present throughout the engagement period. And what about you? What sort of challenges have you had, Laura?
Well, one of the first things that happened for me was in a Zoom meeting. I was new to Zoom 4 years ago when we first started meeting. Then somebody said, well, all of that information is in the drive. my tech needed to be updated to be able to be a more helpful partner in the project. And as a partnership goes, there was somebody on the team who really felt like they could be the person that would take the time to bring me to a place where the tech was almost as easy for me to navigate as for others on the team with more experience. So I've learned that. I've tuned myself out, and I was teaching my family how to do a Zoom meeting recently.
And have you had have you had new opportunities with your participation through PCOR that have opened up for you?
Emily took me first to the first PCORI meeting where we're learning from others, and we were both new to the process, and it was very eye-opening. But the practical stories that I heard from people whose research, but their contributions to the research made a difference. And what's striking for me is how the peer support with a CPAP machine brought people to use their machines better. The researchers were wondering why the person wasn't getting better, the CPAP machine, and it was the patient partners sitting side by side with the patients that realized they didn't know how to turn the machines on. That kind of practical experience is a really good example of
what. Right. And that's something that researchers wouldn't necessarily think of, but that insight is what's so important. Mm-hmm. So why don't we wrap up? I'll have you kind of start us off, Laura.
Patient-centered outcomes research, as that last example offered, it can improve lives of people with CF. It can bring their concerns and wishes together to improvement. And for researchers, as Emily has pointed out, she's looking at research in a different way, and that can enhance her work. But we do all of this being mindful of the ways that we create space that is supportive of one another and continues to bring trust in that. In any group, that takes effort and diligence. So we're mindful about all of these things, ground rules and icebreakers. Our roles and our team goals guide us, and also the foundations and the principles of partnership, communication, co-learning, reciprocity, transparency, trust, and honesty. And our commitments to each of us are really important.
So PCORI does offer a lot of resources for people who may be looking into doing patient-centered outcomes research. And certainly our Eugene Washington team has put together a training, and we're sharing our PCOR experience with others in the CF community. So we've done our training, and we're also actually putting together a best practices online engagement user guide. How do teams who want to successfully engage using solely online methods, which is very timely, I think, especially now with COVID-19. And so it's not just for the CF community, but it's for the whole world. So this summer we're offering a training, and we hope that you can join, and we'll details are forthcoming.
We are so very grateful to CFRI for giving us the opportunity and a space with which to share our experience with not only CFRESH, but the way we operate with patient-centered outcomes research. I thank Emily for bringing me on board, and for everyone that helps me do a better job on the team.
And thank you, Laura, for enriching my research life, my life in so many ways, and being part of this team. So thank you.
We look forward to meeting more of you in the future.